Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Across the ASEAN, and Singapore's first quarter GDP estimates, at least the flash data, has been released. And while economists surveyed by the MAS were expecting GDP to contract by 1.1%, advanced estimates showed that the Singaporean economy actually saw minor growth of about 0.2% year on year. We want to take a look at what some of the economic drivers were that helped boost the local economy during the first 3 months of this year. And today in Across the ASEAN, we're joined by Dr. Chak Bin Chua, Maybank Kim Eng's regional co-head of macro research. He's here with us to talk about what he made of the figures and how it compared with his expectations. Dr. Chua, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health and safe during these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. It has been a while.
Thanks, JP.
I do have to bring up that Maybank's estimates were for the Singaporean economy to contract by about 1.2%. And we also have to point out that these are flash estimates. They're not the final figure for Singapore's GDP. How did you feel about the actual flash result? And how does this impact your outlook now for the Singaporean economy this year?
Yeah, it looks like the flash estimates came in stronger than we expected, largely from the services side. I think most were expecting the manufacturing to be pretty robust, given we saw the very strong figures in January and February. But manufacturing came in a bit better. And I think probably the stronger global outlook, in part because of the U.S. Fiscal support, but also the rapid vaccine rollout in Singapore has probably helped to support the services side of the economy as well. So we are raising our growth forecast now to 6.2% for the full year. That's actually slightly higher than the government currently 4-6% range, on the back of this strong global growth outlook, but also Singapore's pretty rapid vaccine rollout. Bear in mind that I think we're reaching almost 20% of the population, which has received the first dose, and then also the recent relaxation of some of the social distancing rules.
Let's stay with manufacturing there, because once again, this was probably one of the standout drivers for the Singaporean economy, and it's still roughly about 20% of Singapore's GDP. Do you think that the strong start of the year for this sector will continue and continue to provide the significant booster for the Singaporean economy as we still go through this more hopeful but still uncertain 2021?
Well, I think the good news is that Singapore is in the right areas for manufacturing, because both semiconductors as well as pharmaceuticals are probably continuing, are going to do well, in this kind of environment. There's a shortage for semiconductors, and Singapore is one of the big semi hubs in the world. That said, I don't think we can expect the kind of really strong growth as we've seen in late last year, especially because probably reaching the full capacity limits. So there will be some easing of the growth, but it'll still be pretty decent.
The industrial space faced some hiccups in the first quarter. We can talk about the blockage of the Suez Canal that caused some of these logistical delays, and also this ongoing chip shortage you mentioned. But still rather sturdy despite these issues, based on the numbers we saw in the first quarter GDP print. What does this tell us about the potential resilience of the Singaporean industrials?
It looks as if the manufacturing side is remarkably resilient. We haven't seen the impact yet from this Suez canal blockage. Maybe it'll show up in the coming months, but I think it looks pretty temporary anyway. And probably a slowdown in some of the container freight, in 1 month will probably be made up with the rush of the ships now probably to the ports in Singapore. For the chip shortage, we are looking out to see whether there are any disruption to some of the electronic players. But so far, so good, and it looks as if the electronics space is still holding up pretty well.
Staying again in manufacturing, the very strong and consistent growth, at least in the biomedical and pharmaceutical manufacturing space in Singapore. Is this a sign also that perhaps biomedical manufacturing might be the manufacturing space of the future for Singapore? Or is it here already? What are your thoughts, Dr. Chua?
Well, I think the biomedical pharma is already pretty large, part of the manufacturing space. I think it's 20% already. You can see all the progress that's been made in R&D and the recent success in attracting Sanofi into invest in in the sector as well. So that continues to be well supported, I think, supported by the government's efforts to pull in the big players to Singapore as well.
All right, so speaking to Dr. Chak Bin Chua, who is the regional co-head of macro research at Maybank Kim Eng here on Across the ASEAN. And we are parsing through the flash first quarter GDP figures for the Singaporean economy. Now, we did also note in this report card, Dr. Chua, that the services sector still continued to lag. But do you think that things might brighten towards the second half, or say even the second quarter of this year? Could we see a shift in terms of growth levers for the Singaporean economy from manufacturing and industrial towards, say, services, especially given the economy here continues to reopen slowly but surely?
The recovery in the services sector is kind of uneven, right? Because when you look at the various sectors, you know, clearly financial services, Infocom has done very well. I mean, they never really slipped into a recession. And the one that was really hard hit are the tourism-related sectors, the aviation sectors, the accommodation. So it's very uneven. The good news is that some of the sectors that were already doing well continues to do well this year, and that's lifting the whole services sector. The travel related, the ones that involve more social contact is recovering, but the pace is a lot more sluggish. We are hoping a lift in the second half when some kind of travel can resume and border controls are relaxed. Yeah, but I think that's something we have to watch because, clearly it needs both sides to clap. Right? Singapore, is ahead in the vaccine rollout, but clearly, some of our neighbors are not. And it's not sure how fast we can, revive some of these air bubbles and so on.
How crucial is the reopening of borders and international travel for Singapore's economy? Can you talk to us about the magnitude or how important this actually is?
Well, I think at the current state, situation, probably about 85% of the economy is probably back into decent health, but we've got the tourism part of the economy, maybe 5-6% of GDP. We've got the construction sector, 3-4% of GDP, and some of this related sectors, hospitality and so on, probably about 3-5% of the current economy is still suffering, right? So the good news is that the bigger proportion of the economy is, almost back to normalcy, 80-85%. But you got that 10-15% part of the economy that's still, weighed down by all these border controls and restrictions.
Let's talk about the policy statement also released by the MA yesterday and figures. Now, while they didn't change policy as expected by many economists, Dr. Chua, they did raise their inflationary outlook just a tad. I think they're expecting now a range of between 0.5% to 1.5%. Can you talk to us about whether or not this is a big deal with regards to Singapore's policy stance in the monetary side, and if this might even hearken to potential tightening on the part of the MAS in the future? What are your thoughts, sir?
So the MAS did raise the headline inflation forecast to, as you pointed out, to 0.5% to 1.5%. I think this comes on the back of the higher transport costs. Oil prices have been soaring, plus also higher accommodation costs as well. Right? But the MAS largely focuses on the core inflation, and they kept their forecast range intact. They are warning that the core inflation will probably pick up, but will probably still be below, the historical averages. Still, we think that the risk is on the upside for inflation, so we're keeping a lookout for that. We can see that global food prices have been rising. There's been disruption to supply chains, and as you highlighted, even the Suez Canal, there's been shipping charges have been rising as well. Semiconductors, there are shortages, so it's on a prices of electronic components will also be rising. So still difficult to assess how much of this will show up in inflation. But I think that's something to watch out for.
And finally, Dr. Chua, before we let you go, we have noted since the start of this year that U.S.-China tensions don't seem to be thawing in the new Biden administration. It seems that the two largest economies in the world seem to still be at loggerheads, whether it's on trade or security or other geopolitical issues. How big of an issue might this play with regards to Singapore's economic outlook? And could this weigh on the recovery that Singapore's the Singaporean economy is trying to undertake?
Well, we did see, 2-3 years ago when all this bilateral tariffs were imposed on each other between U.S. and China, that they did have some impact on global trade and exports, which weigh on the export growth here. I guess the good news is that the U.S.-China tensions, even though it's continuing, I mean, the policy levers are shifting away from tariffs. It doesn't look as if the Biden administration are in favor of tariffs. But there is still this ongoing tech war, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. So, and hard to assess, but, Singapore seems to be, the negative effects from some of the tariff wars. But at the same time, Singapore has also benefited from being sort of a neutral region, right? Neutral place, which attracts tech investments from both sides. So I think for now, it's kind of difficult to assess, but it looks as if Singapore seems to be holding up pretty well and remaining quite resilient despite the ongoing U.S.-China rivalry.
All right, I'd like to thank Dr. Chak Bin Chua, Maybank Kim Eng's regional co-head of macro research, for joining us across the ASEAN to help us understand the flash first quarter GDP figures. I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these uncertain times. And we look forward to next time we can have you back on the show. Meanwhile, happy hump day, sir. And we hope you have a great rest of the week ahead. Thank you.
Thanks, JP.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.